but it will get dark in here in a little bit. Growing up in Montana, my brother and I have a sister as well, but my brother and I were given lots of chores that we did not particularly appreciate doing. As you can imagine, there are things that we did not think was worth our time. But there was always a chore given to us that gave us great delight, and it was from my dad, who said, "Boys, let's make a fire." I'm telling you, I'll light fires till the day I die. I have never had the fire department called on me, though, from a fire start, but we did lots of that. And there's something very intriguing about a campfire, and where I'm going tonight, I want us to look at the nature of the gospel light as being like a campfire, the metaphor of what it does. Because the campfire is something that enables one to see, not see very far, but see right around the sphere that you've been put in. I'm thinking of campfires that we would light on hunting trips, campfires we would light after a river trip, campfires we would light when the stumps were pulled from the ground and lit on fire, and those we called bonfires. And usually at night, of course, there was both the darkness that sets in as well as the cold. And if you've ever been hiking in the mountains and freezing cold and you come back, there's nothing better than a campfire. It lights up the camp around you so that you're able to see the food that you're preparing, be able to see the tent that you're going to go into. But furthermore, the campfire brings warmth. It thaws you out. And there's such a tremendously comforting factor to that. A light that brings, a reality that brings both light and heat is something that comes in the midst of a fire. It's not altogether surprising that throughout Scripture we see this very metaphor, illustration used for God. He is called a consuming fire. He appears to Moses in a burning bush that never burns up. He himself brings this heat and warmth, light shining in darkness. All throughout the prophet Isaiah, here in the Christmas story as well. And we get to Revelation, this warmth that comes through the almighty light of God. It's not simply a cold light. What's wanting us to understand here is, you know what it means to just have kind of a cold light shining on you without any heat emanating from it. This is not the nature of what God is. He brings both the ability to see as well as the heat that comes from his light. When the prophet says that on people who walked in great darkness, the light has shined. And John describes this very text from Isaiah in the first chapter. What does that mean? That they walked in darkness. Well, it doesn't mean they didn't have light, because they certainly did. From the beginning in which God set this whole thing up and running, there has been a sunrise in the east and a sunset in the west. They've had light. And the biblical writers, when they use the word darkness, they're not thinking like Enlightenment people looked at the Middle Ages, as if they were backwards people who didn't really have a science in their midst. There were not people who could really think for themselves, and therefore there had to be some kind of enlightening of the mind as well as the industrial revolution to make new products for humans to thrive and to prosper. No, this is not the kind of darkness that Scripture is describing. When Scripture is describing darkness, it's describing the reality in which people, by their own choices and by the reality of the sin they've been born into, exist, as it were, in their own caves. The illustration goes all the way back to Plato. A cave that is both of their own making, but one in which they cannot see, nor can they feel. And the light of God comes into this truth in order to do both of these things. And as you know, if you've ever been in darkness for a long time and you come into the light, what do you do quickly? You squint. It's painful and it's bright. And there is a very searing nature to the gospel of Jesus Christ when he comes into a dark world of which Scripture says we are a part. I watched Star Wars the other day, which is great. The last one. Yeah, right. It's going to be another trilogy. It's too much money being made. But they set up a battle of good and evil, and it's as if the good and the evil have always coexisted in this way. And the light in that is always simply a penetrating light, though I think at times it misses the warmth. But Scripture doesn't describe it as the good guys and the bad guys. It just says that we all have walked in darkness. We're all walking in darkness. And the light that comes in is a light that shines into our darkness, where Jesus says that the very things that are hidden within us, are he is going to lay bare. He promises to expose that. He promises to unearth it in order that he might do something with it. And for us to see ourselves in light of the truth that he brings is to have the very same response that Isaiah the prophet himself had. He says, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips." When God appears to him with a coal of burning hot, warm coal to touch his lips. The imagery is amazing there. And light is that very thing. It's exposing, it's painful, helps us to see who we are and what we need. But too often we forget the other aspect of this light is that it's meant to bring heat. It's meant to bring warmth. It's meant to thaw out that which was cold and frozen. Too often the truth is just presented as facts. That's meant to win an argument. Truth is presented as something that simply brings out into the light that which was hidden, but it wants it to wither and die there. I think quite often that the fear people have with respect to God is that very thing, is that it's assumed that the exposure is going to kill it. This is not what the Lord has intended. The light that shines in the sky on that Christmas night to the angels in a cold evening, watching over flocks by night, was something that produced in them joy, brings healing, brings heat. It does something in them. But again, it takes time, for the same reason that our eyes adjusting to light as we come out of a cave, for the same reason if you're out hunting late at night, and you're trying to find your way back to the camp, and your hands and your feet are pretty much frostbitten. Whose fault is that? My dad's. It's his fault. We were out too long. It's our own fault. But when you start the fire, maybe you're a lot smarter than we were, and you don't know this, but if you get frostbitten, you can't get too close to the fire too quickly. It's just painful. But the more it warms you and the more it thaws you out, the more you would get closer and closer to the fire and you enjoy it. The gospel is like a campfire. You can be alone on the side of a mountain with just your family around you. You can light a little fire and it can both give you enough light to not be afraid of anything out there. And it will helpfully ward off mosquitoes as well. And you can also be warm throughout that night. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the very thing that's meant to come to us who walk in darkness in the same way, in that it's meant to have our eyes see things that we could not have seen while we existed in our own cave. It allows Him to expose what's deep and recessed in our hearts such that He might do His work in and through us. And He does that through heat, changing, burning away things that need to be burnt away, the impurities, making things new by burning away that which is old and providing that warmth and that heat. We are in a little campfire space right here. If you go home to a campfire tonight, or all that you feel is the candle in your hand as we end this service, may you reflect on this truth that light came in order to not only expose, but to heal. Not only to show the way, but to make new. Light has shined. Light has come. Light is a beautiful thing because it not only opens our eyes, it changes our lives. In the Reformation period, the Swiss town of Geneva, which is the precursor to Presbyterian churches, had on their coins a phrase that says, "Post tenebras lux," after darkness, light. And what they meant by that was that for so long they did not understand the nature of the gospel, and the Bible was being printed in their own languages, and they became able to read it now in their own tongue. And what they read there was something that brought light to their very lives. Interestingly, the first introductory page of the first edition of Don Quixote, the guy who chases after windmills, is this very thing: after darkness, light. This is the truth of the gospel, that God didn't intend to leave anyone in their cave. That after darkness, He intended to bring light, but a light that brought heat. May you allow that light to shine in. May you stand by its warmth and allow it to thaw you out. We are all in this boat. We all have walked in darkness. And yet the hope is tonight we might be able to say, "But I have seen a new light. Jesus Christ, the light of the world." Yeah, friends. Let's start a fire. Let's pray.